Time for a walkie. Let's go walkie. I am composing. And what let me tell you, composing takes a lot of time, which is good because it means that my days go by very quickly, which is probably good. Most of the morning, we're going to get a little section at the beginning. Talk about the fact that, what you need to know before you even got started on these kinds of issues. All over the trunks of things. Some kind of stuff to keep bugs from getting onto the plane. So, anyway, it's windy. I'm getting the impression that it's almost time for a full test. Well, let me tell you, I think this is the first time that I've ever had been more kind of distant from that whole process. Which is fine, you know, but not to... matter to me at all. Anyway, so... the whole thing about... the game Mormon was precipitated by this guy who's got a website on the internet about he's got a YouTube recording. Sorry, I'm being kind of distracted. He's got a YouTube recording where he sets up his camera to his to family members, to friends, to whomever, and springs on the fact that he's decided that he's gay. And caught that first reaction. Very weird, very strange. I don't know, you know, there's probably a whole discussion to be talked about how utterly obnoxious such a thing is. And I'd be the first one to say, you're really intensely rude, because I'm sure he said, hey, I've got something really big to tell you, but I want to record your reaction. Do you mind if I do it? Oh, sure, go ahead. I'm gay. And you go, oh, I'm not really, you know, that's the weird kind of almost voyeurism that I think is just cruel to people. Doing things almost exclusively for its shock value. Whatever. You know. I don't put those people into high esteem, but that's okay. You know, I've been around a lot of returned missionaries. The group of missionaries that I went out with, I wouldn't want to spend 5 minutes with, by and large. We were thrown together. Everybody was acting weird. And I didn't think much of them at all. But, you know, we can be pleasant. We can be fine, you know. Anyway, we would say, oh, it's an LDS return missionary, as if this is some kind of, oh my, some big person has fallen from grace. And you go, oh please, come on. Three quarters of the guys in Utah go on missions. I think it's a little hopeful to say that they're doing it for the right reasons. Some do it just because their friends are doing it and they don't want to be left out. It's a cultural thing. I tend to avoid Utah myths. I've met many of them. They're wonderful people. They're nice people. I sometimes worry about their devotion to the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, because they have this added issue of the fact that the culture that surrounds them wants them to pay lip service to them. You know, Utah doesn't just breed a lot of Mormons, it also breeds a lot of anti-Mormons. And I talked about this a lot in another recording. To get back to the Gay Mormon, so I've been typing out about all this stuff. I'm not sure exactly how much of it's all going to end up in the trash can or not. If I might break it out and put it someplace else. We're talking a lot about rationalizations and things like that, and I'm no paragon. I'll be the first to say that I've got hang-ups. Everybody's got hang-ups. I guess the biggest thing to know is that I've probably got different hang-ups than you do. In any given culture, you're going to see a lot of people with a lot of different hang-ups. Probably the first and most obvious, I don't know if it's very obvious, but probably the first thing you'll notice about Jay is Jay gets to where he is from a different method than you probably did. Most people tend to look at what everybody else around them thinks, believes, preaches, and then they do exactly the same thing, and they build up rationalizations why they should have made the choices they did. And that's typical. You run into a person, chances are you're going to do that. But if you question them much, you know, they're pretty much going to fall into the trap of being offended, which for me means we've reached the point to where their rationalizations are falling apart for why they do things, and they don't want to appear a fool, so the last defense mechanism is to really be offended. And that's, you know, in decent conversation, that's when we back up and go, I apologize for offending you. Which is really code for we've gone beyond where you're willing to go. And that's fine. That's what decent interchange conversations are. Now, the way we behave in books, the way I behave in books is you throw it out there. But then people fall into the trap of, if they have a problem with something you say in your book, they think that's fodder for public discourse. And that your job is to defend what you wrote. And I'll be the first one to say, nope, not interested. I said, I don't have a PhD for a reason. Because I write, I put those writings out there, other people, And it is for other people to read, to consume, to argue with, to bicker about, and stuff like that. I don't, it's like my child. I launch them and they're gone. Because I've got a very different purpose when I'm out and among people. I'm there to smooth things out. I'm there to bring people together. And I know people say, oh, well, then you're just so duplicitous. Oh, and you go, what? I'm being totally upfront about what I do. At least in this essay, it's like, yeah, I don't defend my arguments. This is they're out there. You know, I write down things so that they may be preserved over time. Whether somebody thinks they're useful or not is totally up to them. But I put things out there so that there might be a record of that idea or that concept or what I'm thinking about this. Does it mean I'm going to change my mind? Nope. A lot of evil gets done by people fighting and defending something that they thought in the past not true, that they might not even agree with anymore. And we tend to castigate those people. Oh, he's a flip-flopper. And you go, what? And you go, don't you change your mind over the year? Don't you change your mind over... No, I never do. And you go, I'm sorry, I have been in the presence of a liar. And you go, and that's fine. Just been own up to it, man. Own up to the fact that you're probably going to change your attitude over time. And if you choose not to, what happens when you find out if something that you held dear to for years was wrong? The chances are you'll continue to say it and do it to preserve your reputation rather than casting it aside and saying, you know what, I'm just going to do it because I want to do what's right. And it's fine. It's human nature. It's a bad part of human nature. Everybody gets weird about it. Oh, you're being inconsistent. Of course I'm being inconsistent. I'm learning. So are you. If you can sit there and say you're a learning, growing person, and yet you're being consistent, you've totally lost me. You've totally lost me for saying something that can't possibly be true. We can all modify. You try to downplay, well, I'm modifying my perspective here. And you go, oh, come on. I'm changing my mind. Adults can do that. See, that's what comes up too, the whole concept of adult and non-adult. I don't want to call them children. Non-adults tend to be that type. It's like when you go through the whole thing about debates, you go, I don't debate anything. I don't get involved in debates. I throw things out there in writing, people can take it for what they want to take it for. If you want to argue with it, I suggest you argue with it in print. And then you walk away. It makes them angry because, especially people who feel like their forte is in debate, which is fine, but we all too often fall into the trap that the best debater, and my wife tells me I'm actually quite a good debater, and say, I don't want to really get into a debate about this. But if you drag me into it, since we can, I write things, they stand on their own. You have said, yes, that I promptly changed my mind. And then I immediately close it down. See, the whole thing is that things can get shut down so easily, usually by agreeing with the other person. Well, I don't think you're right. You know, you go, you know what? I probably am not right. Shake your hand and walk away. And they just go, oh, I'm just so angry. How totally unfulfilling. Sorry. That's why I prefer writing to speaking. People want to have comments. People want to have dialogue. And I just don't dialogue. It's not interesting to me. I use the internet as a publishing outlet, not as an outlet of interchange. Not interested. I'm not a social person. I certainly don't prefer it. That's why I think it's interesting, you know, as I've thought about the whole Foreign Service thing. And what one needs to do and how wonderful it is that good people get involved in things like politics. I also think that other avenues are just as just as vital to the system. I have always hoped that I would be somebody to whom other people could say, well, I heard this, and either I agree or I disagree with that. The biggest thing is that we're all thinking. We're all out there exploring ideas, exploring concepts, and we share what we're thinking, what we learn. I'm not particularly an advocate. I'm not particularly any of those things. If I were to go into politics, it would be a very interesting way of doing it. I'm sure the person that I was, who I was running against or running against me, would be very, very upset in that I would be much more about presenting what I think would be the right thing to do, and pretty much just looking at my opponent as somebody else who's just asking questions. He says, well, he's just not debating. And you go, no, I don't debate. I don't debate about things. I'm mostly about education and mostly about, given this circumstance, this is what I would do and this is why I would do it. And I would do it based on principles. And if people would come back and go, well, you needed to say this because this would appeal to this audience and that audience, I'm very sure that I would say, you know, I'm just not terribly interested in doing that. I said, I remember watching a bit of a television show called Commander in Chief, and it's about a vice president who becomes the president through the death of the president. Her vice presidency, Gina Davis plays this new president. And it all tends to be about leadership and about this and about that and about power and I think it ended up being a little presumptuous from the standpoint of it was trying to accomplish way too much too quickly. And you know, there was the whole possibility of the what if on this one. Anyway, her opponent in the election that got her elected vice president was this really good guy, they said. Really, a real straight shooter, a military guy. Everybody thinks that military guys are straight shooters. And that may or may not be true. I don't know. Some are, I'm sure. You know, there's all kinds of people represented. And the fact that once he felt like she was a good leader, he was behind her 110%. You know, it was more of a patriotism issue for him. And you're the President of the United States. I'm going to stand behind you. I'm going to help him and do whatever I can. And what ultimately happened in those circumstances. I was unaware that when a president dies, the vice president becomes the president, that there is some kind of confirmation hearing for vice president. I don't get that. I didn't think that that was the way it worked. It, you know, I don't remember the Constitution saying that. I thought that the president could simply choose a vice president and that's done. But, hey, I don't know how the system runs. That was quite interesting to me. And that when you go into politics, you go into it, or if you go into public service, which I would be doing if I went to the Foreign Service, that you want to do a good job. It's tricky to have an agenda. Agendas can be worked on later, after one rises to the point to where they actually make policy rather than just simply executing the policies of others. Perfectly fine. That's an understandable way to get things done. I'm not determining the rightness or the wrongness of the process. You've got to have a process, therefore, you know, whatever process you come up with is about as good as any other. Everything's got a bit of a vetting to it. Can you pass a test? I found it interesting that in order to become one of these Foreign Service officers, they're considered generalists. It is done. Yeah, you take a certain track, and I really don't know how much meaning there is to the track. I'm getting off the whole subject of the Gay Mormon, which is where I basically say you can't be both. I started to say that I don't even know if that's really, you know, I was starting to say that being gay is its own religion and some arguments toward that. And I think it's weak and I didn't really. I might scrap the whole thing for just saying, you know what, let other people handle the response to this. I don't need to get involved. Although I'm sure it would be very controversial, and controversy equals money. Money equals power. Do I seek for power? No. But I hope to. I think it's every intelligent person's hope that they can make things better. And you choose by which route you would choose to do so. My intelligence tells me, and I'm not saying that I'm the smartest guy in the room. Plenty of people smarter than I am on many, many subjects. But logic tells me in these times those with money get listened to. Those without it don't. If you want to be influential, and hopefully you would want to use that influence for good things, my patriarchal blessings talks a little about influence, that money is a part of that. It's just a means. You have to, well, you put yourself out there. I'm not really sure what wisdom is, nor am I really sure what I want. I tend to leave these things up to Heavenly Father, but I think Heavenly Father, or the Lord, sorry, probably the Lord in this case, simply tosses it back at you and says, you need to figure that one out. I don't mind helping you, but I'm not going to spoon it to you, buddy. That was for other people, not for you. I go, all right. To say what you should be doing with what you have. I think one of the things that's bothering me is that I fall into the trap of being a servant first and then hoping that leadership comes. And I think it's more along the lines of be a leader first and then you will be humbled by servitude and what you are a servant toward. I'm not sure which way it really works. Or how it should work, given who I wish to be working for. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? I certainly... Oh, so anyway, I don't know what to do about the gay Mormon. I may just put it aside, shove it aside, ignore it. Just start 100 things and a handful come to any kind of fruition at all. I really like the whole essay about marriage isn't disingenuous enough for gays. I might throw that up as its own standing thing. I need to put that on Amazon for 99 cents. Give it its own marketing. I prefer to. I am not a marketer. Maybe the best thing is to throw it up in 500 different places and see what traction it gets. I bet you the psychic proximity principle, which is by far my most popular blog posting, is somehow pulled together by the whole tagline psychic. A lot of people search on the term psychic. I may need to take it off of the blog. Well, I need to pull off the blog to shove it on Amazon. So that I get pay per view. There's a lot of play to be tossed out there for that I'm not really taking advantage of. You know, I had done a while back trying to monetize things. I think it's much more useful to monetize it directly rather than trying to do it through advertising. I know I'm a person that's not easily swayed by advertising. Therefore, I'm much more interested in spread and range, getting stuff out there, than I am in being locked into exclusive deals, for instance. So although I don't know. Honestly, it's probably just as well. To throw things at the lending library to get a lot of things out there, a lot of little things. Some of my essays. And just toss them out there. So I don't really know if I want to go for the Gay Mormon a little bit, because I'm spending too much time focusing on how people shouldn't be offended by it, and say, you know what, Jay, just offend people. It's fine. You go, they'll catch on soon that when they see you out in public, you go, you need to defend that. And you go, hey, it's in print. I don't need to defend it. So they'll let other people make judgment calls on things, which I tend to say about a lot of things. When somebody gets up and says that they have a strong testimony, I always get kind of a weird sensation in my spine that tells me that that's a pretty cocky statement. I think God gets to determine what your, how strong your testimony is. I don't think it's really an issue of how you feel about it. If it's effective, it's effective. If it's not, it's not. If you're going for an effective one, you'll tend to stop saying the things that are ineffective and keep saying the things that are effective. Now, I tend to be more about truth, or I would like to think I'm more about truth. And so, I would hope to throw the truth out there, and people can sit there and ponder about how they feel about that all, you know, every day of the week. That's fine. Hey, oh, you know what? Instead of sticking this in my thing, I can stick it in my pocket. It looks smarter. It feels better, too. And that kind of keeps the wind out of it. I like that. Okay. So, I've been thinking about this a little bit, to say in the future I want to put stuff up on Amazon, but then I come back and I say, well, wait, why don't we throw up our little essays up for 99 cents and point people to them. People want for free, they can find it on my website. That's fine. You know, I don't have any compunction of people going and getting it for free. But the advertised venue is going to be things down to little itty bitty things. Probably what I put in, probably essay format is probably the best from the standpoint of making if you're going to write it, put it out there in such a form so people can pay for it. I think that's kind of a useful philosophy. I don't think it's evil. and you'll say, oh, all knowledge is free, and you go, sure. And you go, but I'm putting some effort into it. And it's not that I want to be compensated for that effort, because I'm making the effort anyway. Put it in a place where it can make money. Slowly Garza. And talk about everything. People like timely nonfiction, so you want to have timely nonfiction. Although I like something that has a little staying power, I don't want it to just die out. For the lack of being seen, being out there. You want to be current and topical, but you also want to have deeper insight. I like that. You know, if it gets to the point to where I am being, you know, asked for interviews because they say, well, you know, I've read your essay on this and this and this. And the first thing I can say, thank you. I said, yes, and every time you read those essays, I'm making you some money and I appreciate that. And, do my production system, but I also want to just see things out there. I think I need to maybe do a split between production and advertisement. That most of the... Well, you just kind of throw out there far and wide. And whatever checks come in are checks that come in. And you don't get weird about it. And you go, the most... I don't think I'm a guy that people come back to again and again and again and again and again. I don't know if I'm really a decent brand because I'm too far ranging. I dip my toe in too many subjects and I don't know if I can really work on a schedule. I don't know if I can really produce these kinds of things on a regular enough basis that people will that work for the venues, you know, where it says, well, we need an article once a week. And you go, well, I don't know if I can produce anything for you once a week. And you go, well, that's the best we can do in the country. Yeah, I think so. And I guess we're coming out here and starting the whole concept of the gay Mormon. I might still do it because I think it's provocative, and I think there are salient things to say. And I need to make sure that I have a lot of different things pointing to it to get up, you know, a little gravitas for it. I have to hurry up here. End up going to the bathroom on myself.
Oh, I hate that.
That the blog may drop off in favor of something else that my DocuWiki may pull into being an internal one. It might not be immediately accessible to people anymore. Fine. I'm probably going to drop off anyway. I might choose to change my server towards something a little more interesting to me. And I don't want to make it simple at all. People who want to converse on some subject or another. You gotta know what you're not really interested in doing. I'm not a dialogue person. Please let that go. The whole dialogue. I'm not interested in dialogue. I push my ideas out there. People can talk about them all they want to. Places like Amazon can create a forum for that if they like. And Okay. You can use it all they want here. And then one. Putting up to work on fiction as a leader in the LDS Church anyway. So, try this as well. So I'm not releasing any fiction at the moment. Nor am I really working on it. I think I will do the game one, okay? I think I'll just throw it out there rather than start to take care of things. And they say, oh, controversial figure, and you go, uh-huh, controversial figure, okay. I'm just gonna throw it out there. Oh, he's not being very respectful. He goes, oh, no, I don't respect him. No, I don't think they do anything respectable. Especially when they make us a public persona. Because we're not going to go here. So, I think that's about all I'm going to say in this venue. Talk to you later. Ooh, my time's nearly up anyway.